Just this past week, right before Hanukkah, a little hidden candle was found. And what I mean by that is a never-seen-before manuscript uncovered in a small town in Denmark. It was an old story that we've never known about, written by Hans Christian Andersen, author of The Little Mermaid, Ugly Duckling, and over 160 other fairy tales that have awakened the imaginations of children. And the chance to uncover one more story that we have never seen before evokes the cornucopia of colors that have painted children's imaginations as they have uncovered these very stories, the idea being that every story must be told. And this idea that every story must be told, and there are so many stories to tell, is what animates Hanukkah, is what makes it so exciting for so many children. Besides the latkes and the dreidels and the menorahs and the Hanukkah geld, Hanukkah is so alive for children because of its diversity, because of its colors. That is one of the cornerstone ideas of Hanukkah. Besides, yes, the military victory of the few overcoming the many, me'atim, overcoming the giborim, the merubim. If you look in the Gemara and Shabbos, you'll find the classic machlokus of Shammai and Hillel as to the order in which we light the Hanukkah lights. Shammai arguing that we light from 8 candles down to 1, while Hillel suggesting that we go from 1 candle the first night, 2nd candle the second night, so on and so forth until ultimately the 8th night, Zos Hanukkah, 8 candles. What is the root of their machlokus? What are they disagreeing about? Well, it could be that Beis Shammai feels that Hanukkah is about unity. Hanukkah is about an expression of the temple, where the miracle primarily happened, where everything comes together in the universe. God's name is one, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And therefore, ultimately we start with 8, but we come to a place of 1, where there is only 1 candle. On the other hand, Beit Hillel is of the opinion that no, Hanukkah is about something so different, something much bigger in a sense. The ultimate unity is the expression of Hanukkah, which is an appreciation of diversity, of the many colors, of the many stories, of the many flames. So we start with 1, but ultimately we progress and move to 8, to 8 candles. Because every story must be told, and every child's story must come alive on Hanukkah. The multiple colors, the multiple spectrums of the rainbow. That is what Hanukkah is about. That is the diversity that is expressed through Hanukkah. You know, we find something so amazing when it comes to Hanukkah. So amazing that the Taz, in his commentary in the Shulchan Aruch, says that we have not found anything like this at all in the rest of Halacha. Lo matzanu davar kazeh. We never found anything like this anywhere else. And what is he referring to? What example is he referring to? Well, on Hanukkah, we know that we go beyond the letter of the law. We don't just follow the observance of lighting the candles, but we do mahadrin and mahadrin mina mahadrin. We do a superior form of lighting. Now, how does that manifest itself? Well, according to the Ashkenaz authority on the Gemara Tosfos, Tosafot comes along and says, you know what we do? The way we express the mahadrin mina mahadrin is that we multiply the number of candles based upon the number of nights. The number of nights should reflect the number of candles in our homes. The Rambam, the Sephardic authority, argues from a different vantage point. He says, no, the way we observe the mahadrin mina mahadrin is you don't just reckon or consider the number of nights, but you multiply it by the amount of people in the household. So if on the 5th night there are 3 people in the household, you would light 15 candles. And that's how many you would light for Hanukkah. Something amazing happened along the way, again, of which the Taz has said never happened before in the history of Judaism. The Ashkenazi practice, which views the candle lighting multiplied by the number of nights, switched with the Sephardic practice of viewing the candle lighting as the number of nights multiplied by the amount of people. Because if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, the codifier of Sephardic law, he says the halacha follows the Ashkenazim, the halacha follows the Tosfos. And if you look at the Ramah, the Ashkenazic authority, he says the halacha follows the Rambam. And they have exchanged hands, so that if you would walk into a home of an Ashkenazi on Hanukkah, you would find that they are following the practice that was originally a Sephardic in nature. And if you walk into the home of a Sephardi, you would find that they would be observing the practice of that which is Ashkenazi in nature. Why? Why Hanukkah is this example? Because Hanukkah is the time to express and share all of our diversity, to share all of our colors, to share the many images and many stories that are evoked by the great miracles of Hanukkah. There was once a great scholar, Sir Brewster, who graduated from the University of Edinburgh. And he went on to become a preacher, and he was afraid to give his first sermon. And he got up there and he delivered his first sermon, and he was so nervous, he was shaking. It was a complete failure. And Brewster said that he would never try this again in his life. And while that day was a great loss for the preaching community, it was a gain for the world, because Brewster, in just a few more years, would develop what we would call the kaleidoscope. The ability to look into one hole and see multiple colors. Our kaleidoscope is Hanukkah. Hanukkah celebrates the reclaiming of the oral law, the Torah Shebaal Peh, an expression of the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Gemara. The Gemara is manifest. The Gemara is made great by its different opinions. Open the Gemara, Abaye, Rava, the Shakla Vetaria, the back and forth, Rav Papa, Rav Chizda, Rav Yehuda, Tanakama, the Chachamim, Divrei Rav Meir. It's all the colors. It's all the stories that need to be told. But as we witnessed this past Friday, with the horrendous, horrendous news coming to us from Connecticut, we know that not all stories get to be told. Reuven is held responsible as Shimon is in captivity with Yosef. And Reuven comes to his father, and they've let their father Yaakov know that they need to bring Binyamin back with them to Egypt. And Yaakov does not want to hear of it, but Reuven steps forward. Vayomer Reuven al aviv lemor, es shnei vanai tamis im lo avienu elecha. You can kill my two sons if I don't bring Binyamin back alive. So Rashi says Yaakov's implied response, I'm shote ani, am I crazy? Do I not lose enough that I want you to kill your kids if you don't bring Binyamin back? What kind of offer is this? This is the question asked by the Maritz Chias. What kind of question, what kind of offer was being posed to Yaakov? I suggest the following answer. That Reuven was telling his father Yaakov, do you know how I know that I'm going to bring back my brother and your son, Binyamin? I know I'm going to bring him back, because if I don't, if I lose my brother, if we lose one child's story, it's as though I've lost all of my stories, all of my children's stories, because the loss of one child is the loss of a universe. So Yaakov, I will bring Binyamin back. Because a child's story is meant to be told. And over 20 children's stories were meant to have been told. The world is meant to be seen in its fullest expression, in all of its colors, in those hidden stories, in those hidden stories of candles that come alive, the stories of few against the majority, the stories of the weak against the strong, the stories that Hanukkah has with it of its dreidels and its latkes. And its miracles. Their stories were meant to be told. And the world comes alive through the stories of children. That's how we know the world to be the world that we are in. You know, I noticed the Al HaNisim that we've been saying throughout Hanukkah has a very unique text which is not found in the Al HaNisim for Purim. And the Al HaNisim for Hanukkah, we say that after the temple was sacked and the Chashmonaim tried to stand up against the Misyavnim, against the Greeks who tried to undo everything that we have stood for, we turn back and we pronounce that we will fight again, but not us. In the Alanisim we say, Va'achar kein bo vanecha lidvir beisecha. Your children are the ones who are going to come back. Your children are the ones who are going to rededicate the Beis HaMikdash. Your children are the ones who are going to retell the story, not us. Bo'u vanecha lidvir beisecha. Your children will be the ones who come. Bo'u vanecha lidvir beisecha. Your children, they are to be the ones who will rededicate your home. That is Chanukah. It's all the colors. All the colors of the spectrum. It's the kaleidoscope of life, and life is meant to be appreciated through the eyes of children. Let us continue to tell the story of all the children, and certainly of the children who will not be able to share their story. May God grant strength to the families and to those who have suffered greatly in the community of Newton, Connecticut. Thank you.